ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
This morning we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, entitled, chapter 6, entitled Dhyana Yoga, text number 26. Yato nischalati, yato nischalati,
yato nischalati,
manas chanchalam,
Astiram, Astiram,
Manas Chanchalam Astiram,
Manas Chanchalam Astiram,
Tatas,
Tatas,
Tato,
Tato,
Niyamyaitad,
Niyamyaitad,
Tatas Tato Niyamyaitad,
Tatas Tato Niyamyaitad,
Atmani,
Atmani,
Eva,
Eva,
Vasham,
Vasham,
Nayat,
Nayet.
Atmanyeva vasham nayet.
Atmanyeva vasham nayet.
Yato yato nischalati.
Yato yato nischalati.
Manas chanchalam astiram.
Manas chanchalam astiram.
Tatas tato niyam yaitad.
Tatas tato niyam yaitad.
Atmanyeva vasham nayet.
Atmanyeva vashandayet.
Yato yato nischalati.
Yato yato nischalati.
Manas chanchalam astiram.
Manas chanchalam astiram.
Tatas tato niyam yaitad.
Tatas tato niyam yaitad.
Atmanyeva vashandayet.
Atmanyeva vashandayet.
Yataha yataha.
Yataha yataha.
Wherever.
Wherever.
Nischalati,
nischalati
becomes verily agitated.
Becomes verily agitated.
Manaha,
manaha
the mind.
The mind.
Chanchalam,
chanchalam
flickering.
Flickering.
Astiram,
astiram
unsteady.
Unsteady.
Tataha, tataha,
tataha, tataha
from there.
From there.
Niyamya,
niyamya
regulating.
Regulating.
Etat. This.
This.
Atmani.
Atmani.
In the self.
In the self.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Vasham.
Vasham.
Control.
Control.
Nayet.
Nayet.
Must bring under.
Must bring under.
Translation. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self, responsibly. From wherever the mind wanders,
from wherever the mind wanders,
due to its flickering and unsteady nature,
due to its flickering and unsteady nature,
one must certainly withdraw it,
one must certainly withdraw it,
and bring it back,
bring it back
under the control of the self.
Under the control of the self.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The nature of the mind is flickering and unsteady, but a self-realized yogi has to control the mind. The mind should not control him. One who controls the mind, and therefore the senses as well, is called one who controls the mind and therefore the senses as well is called Goswami or Swami, and one who is controlled by the mind is called Godasa or the servant of the senses. A Goswami knows the standard of sense happiness. In transcendental sense happiness, the senses are engaged in the service of Hrishikesha, or the supreme owner of the senses, Krishna. Serving Krishna with purified senses is called Krishna consciousness. That is the way of bringing the senses under full control. What is more, that is the highest perfection of yoga practice. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyaitad atmanyeva vasham nayat. So, very often, we find ourselves being criticized by foolish and envious people, and they like to label us as cultists, or the movement as a cult, and they say that we are into mind control. And actually they're right. We are into mind control because their minds are uncontrolled. They think that that is freedom or happiness or whatever. But the fact is that the uncontrolled mind is just like the analogy of a chariot, where the horses are the senses. The horses, five horses, are compared to the five senses. Or let me say the five senses are compared to five horses of a chariot. And the mind, which is the sixth sense, is compared to the ropes which would hold such horses. They're known as reins. And the intelligence is the driver who holds the ropes which control the horses, or the intelligence is supposed to give direction to the mind to control the senses. And the soul is the passenger on the chariot of the body. Now, in our present condition, we find that the ropes have fallen loose from the driver's hands. The reins are not under the control of the driver. In other words, the mind is no longer receiving dictation, receiving guidance from the intelligence. And in that condition, the horses, sensing that there's no control, and horses do this. If you've ever ridden a horse, you know that you have to pull tight on the reins so that the horse knows who is the boss. Otherwise, the horse will just run this way and that way according to his own desire. This is a practical experience of any horse rider. The horse will, you're riding there, and you can't say, you know, go to the market, and the horse will go to the market. No, the horse doesn't know what you want him to do. He'll just go wherever he wants to go. Wherever he has the horse has a mind of his own. So, in the same way, the senses are attracted to the sense objects. Vishaya vinivartam te niraharasya dehina. For those who have got a body, which means all of us, the objects of the senses are like magnets pulling iron. The senses are like iron, and the objects of the senses are like magnets, and they're attracting. It's just part of the way the material world is made up. Therefore, the objects of the senses are called vishaya. They have this attracting potency. So, the yogi is trying to bring the horses under control again. He is trying to surrender his mind to the intelligence. And the soul is the passenger on the chariot. So the soul is simply telling the intelligence, I would like to go here. I would like to go there. I would like to go left. I would like to go right. Then the intelligence is planning how to achieve that goal, how to get to the marketplace, how to make the horses turn left or right. and the mind is carrying out the instruction. But if the horses are running wild this way and that way, then the soul is only going to be put into anxiety. The passenger is only going to be in danger because the chariot could fall in a ditch and crash and great havoc, great injury. So in the same way, we are here in this material world and we've been here for such a long time, we can't even remember when we first came here. We have been here practically, the expression is, since time immemorial. Can't remember the time when you came into the material world. And we've simply been going through all the miseries of material existence again and again. And the reason why we don't learn from our past life is because when we take a new body, we forget. We are in the womb, and we are suffering in the womb. It's not a comfortable place. And we simply want to get out of that place. And when we come out, the pain and trauma of birth is so great that we forget our past life. Also in the court of Yama, we're trained up for our new body. We're trained up to act like a bird. We're trained up to act like a donkey. We're trained up to act like a demigod. We're trained up to do whatever our next destination requires. So we forget about our past life. And in this way, you can go on forever. The wheel of birth and death is exactly like that. It's called the Sansara Chakra. And chakra means a wheel. Or a circle. So there's no end to a circle. You can't find the beginning and end of a circle. You just keep going around and around and around. Sometimes up, sometimes down. So that's what we're doing. We wander. Upari Adha. From Brahmalok to Patalok. But all these different destinations in the material world, they have one thing in common. Although they're totally different in every way, but they have one thing in common. They're all temporary. They're subject to death. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Ab Brahma Bhuvanaloka Punar Avartino Arjuna. There's no use in scheming. There's no use in making plans for a better kind of material situation, whether it be going from Earth planet to Indraloka, Chandraloka, or whether it be from going from Maribor to London. Or the grass is always greener on the other side, people say. It's an expression which means it's not really better. And in Bengali they say, Yadi Jabe Bange Kopal Jabe Sange. You still have to carry your karma with you, your mind with you. You can't escape just by traveling to another place. You're still responsible for your past sinful activities. So therefore, no use in trying to go here and there for your own sense gratification. That won't solve your problems. You better just learn to control your mind and control your senses. Then you can be happy wherever you are. Just like it is said, Shanaya Shanaya Uparamed Buddhya Dhriti Grihitaya Atmasanstam Mana Kritva Na Kinchidapi Chintayat. Gradually, step by step, once you become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. So this is a very beautiful verse, and it explains very nicely the process of bhakti yoga. We engage in activities which will help us to gradually become purified of our anarthas, our unwanted habits, taking intoxication, meat eating, gambling, these things we give up immediately, but even otherwise, the attachment to these activities is still some attachment is still there in the heart. So gradually we'll purify these desires for sense gratification. And gradually the mind will become situated in trance. And what will help us is our intelligence, our Krishna conscious intelligence, our ability to discriminate. Intelligence means the ability to discriminate between what is real and what is not real, what is temporary and what is eternal, what is spirit and what is matter. So we will develop this intelligence to discriminate what is important, what is the quadrant 2 activity, and what is the quadrant 4 useless activity. And gradually we'll develop more and more conviction. The more and more experience that you have in devotional service, the stronger your conviction will become. Just by keeping yourself in the fire of devotional service, keeping yourself in contact with people who are very serious about pursuing the absolute truth, just by abstaining from sinful habits, all of these benefits will accrue, all of these benefits will give you this conviction, stronger determination to overcome the illusion of Maya, to see Krishna, to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, to experience for yourself Krishna conscious happiness, your own happiness. What you really hanker after is intimately related with Krishna's happiness, or serving Krishna, using your senses to serve Krishna. So gradually you'll develop this full conviction, and the ultimate result will be that you meditate on your own self-interest. Svardhagatim hi Vishnu, natevdu svardhagatim hi Vishnu, sva artha gatim. Your artha, your real interest, your real benefit. What is the gatim, svardha gatim? Your self-interest is to develop a loving relationship with Krishna. Everything else that you do is just fine, but it should be centered in loving Krishna. You can climb mountains, or you can paint pictures, or you can manage or do business or anything at all, but if it's Krishna conscious, it will bring you lasting deep satisfaction. And if it's not Krishna conscious, then you won't, you'll always be hankering after a new variety, and you'll have to take another birth again and go through the same business of birth, old age, disease, and death. So the key is to capture the mind, to not let the mind control you. And you have to, this shanai shanai, in the previous verse it is said, slowly, gradually. So you have to work at it with a method, as a sadhana, as a sankalpa, as a, you know, you have to have an intention that I am going to become the master of my mind. I'm sick and tired of being bullied by a materialistic mind which is simply responding to the stimuli given by materialistic men who want to control me. They talk about us being into mind control. Well, look who's talking. That's all they want to do, is control the minds of the people and exploit them for sense gratification. And they do that by so many types of advertising, where they scientifically analyze that the color red influences one in this way, and letters in this type size and point of typeface and point size will influence in that way, and this type of picture in the background will give this impression. They're simply thinking how to control people and manipulate the radio, the songs, the advertisements. On television, you watch the advertisements, they're often far more expensive than the actual program that you watch. So the few minutes of advertising, they know they've only got maybe 20 seconds or 30 seconds or whatever to catch you, to catch you and control you and make you buy their product. So it can cost you for half a minute or so advertisement. It can cost you $100,000. It can cost you a huge amount of money. And they make it so, you know, high tech and interesting. And so who's endeavoring to control your mind? Are you going to let them control your mind? Or are you going to control your mind? Are you going to be a slave? Or are you going to be a master of your mind? Then when you have control of your mind and senses, then you can become a devotee of Krishna. Then you can surrender to Krishna. If you have no control, then what do you have to offer to Krishna? You can't have God and mammon at the same time in the Bible. You can't entertain thoughts for your own sense gratification and in the same breath be proposing to serve Krishna. Krishna wants you to surrender fully to Him so He can reveal Himself fully to you. So you have to withdraw your mind. When you find your mind wandering, this is abhyasa, this is practice. When the mind wanders away from our target, from our goal, from our central activities, and it will do. None of us are perfect by any means. So we have to become fixed also, not only in practicing bhakti yoga, but in bringing all our senses under control so that we can practice bhakti yoga. When the mind wanders, we just bring it back. We say, stop! I'm not allowing you to go anywhere else. And if you do, I'll beat you. Have an argument with your mind. And bring it back under the control of the self. This is described here as dhyana yoga, but it's applicable in everything we do. This chapter may be about dhyana or ashtanga yoga, and it's so much important there, controlling the mind. But bhakti yoga also, the first part of bhakti yoga is vaidhi. Vaidhi means rules and regulations. So all of the rules and regulations are to help us control our mind and senses. I guess what I would like to say is that we should, as devotees, we should be very brutal with our mind. The mind has just been uncontrolled, and the mind is belligerent. Belligerent means that no matter what you do, he just does what he wants to do. He seems to have a total individual existence almost. You can request him politely, you can offer some enticement, you know, anything, but the mind just seems to want to go back to sense gratification. It's like the tail of a dog. Tail of a dog is always like this. It's always bent if you see the tail of a dog. Now you can hold the dog's tail down and put grease on it and, you know, try to smooth it out. The moment you let go, it comes back like this. It's always the tail of a dog. So the mind, in so many ways, you try to coax him to cooperate in devotional service. But the moment you're a little careless, the mind will go back to his old ways of where's food, where's sex, where's shelter. That's his only business, how to squeeze out some pleasure from the combination of the senses and the sense objects. So you have to get very strict with your mind, and at the same time, you have to realize that it is a hard struggle. It's a great battle. It's exciting. It's like you're in the middle of a great war, and you're the general, and you have got this enemy, the mind, and every day there's a battle, and some battles you win and some battles you lose, but you have to keep up your spirits. An army which is demoralized, an army which has no... Hitler was expert in his war machine, and one of the first things they did, well, the Allies used to do this also, and they would fly over the enemy and drop leaflets and pamphlets with all kinds of negative information about the government or about the position of the war, and trying to demoralize the enemy soldiers, saying that your leaders are just enjoying while you fight, or you've already lost, we've already taken Dresden, and now we've got armies all around Berlin, and you can't possibly win, and we'll give you this and this if you'll just surrender. They try to demoralize in the mind the enemy, because if the enemy is demoralized, they may have all kinds of good equipment, they may be very well trained, they may be very strong and healthy, but if their minds are not fixed on their battle, then they can't do anything. They become paralyzed. So in the same way, you have to maintain your enthusiasm. So it's a great challenge, and some days you will lose, but you have to get up and fight again. You should be hard on yourself, but at the same time not so hard that you get demoralized, because you have a whole lifetime to fight this uncontrolled mind, and you will win if you sincerely try. God helps those who help themselves, and Krishna, there's no question. If Krishna wants to help you, then you'll definitely be successful. And as far as devotees, we should remain very humble. Humility, cultivating humility throughout your life will bring you so much realization. I think humility is the crest jewel of all the Vaishnav qualities. Humility is the most pleasing to everyone, and it means everybody likes a very humble devotee, and humility is the least, it's very safe. It's a safe position to be humble. And of course there is a meaning to humility. Humility doesn't necessarily mean that you're just without any spirit, but you should always be ready to recognize another devotee's perception, and you should always be ready to try to appreciate how people are seeing any given situation. You may not agree with them even at the end. You may disagree, and you may have to just agree to disagree politely, but you should at least acknowledge that all other devotees have a perception on things, and they need to be reaffirmed. Everybody needs to be recognized. We all need this, whether it's recognized by Krishna or the spiritual master, or recognized by the Vaishnavas. So we should be prepared to acknowledge people's sincere efforts, even if we don't agree with them. And that way we can remain humble and always consult with the Vaishnavas, make friends with and have Vaishnavas that you can reveal your mind to. And the sun, the moon, the stars, Krishna's eyes are everywhere. And Krishna knows everything about us. So there's not a major need for being secretive. Of course, we don't want to hang out our laundry in public, but at the same time, we should see the goal. Focus on the goal of becoming purified and do whatever you have to do to make your heart clean and loving and pure and to prepare for Krishna's arrival. Do whatever you have to do for Krishna to come and sit on the lotus of your heart. Don't be proud that I can't do this or I can't do that. You can do whatever is necessary. You may say, I choose not to do it, but then you have to accept the consequences. But you can become as low as the straw in the street. In other words, no ego at all, no false ego at all. And you will benefit from that consciousness. Even if in the short term you admit to someone, oh, I'm a fool, I made this mistake, and you feel a little embarrassed by that. It doesn't matter. The person will ultimately probably respect you, or at least others will respect you, that you acknowledge you made some mistake, and you'll open up so that you can be corrected and you can improve and get better. So in that way, remain steady. Keep yourself in the fire of devotional service. Keep yourself amongst devotees. Devotees have their good and bad qualities, but ultimately they only have good qualities. The bad ones we can ignore. Devotees are basically the best people for you to be with in order to make spiritual advancement. And if you keep yourself in the fire, fire may be hot, but keep yourself in the fire, it will purify you. And that way you can be steady. And then shanai shanai, you'll learn to control your mind and your senses and everything else. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. So are there any questions or comments? Okay, good. Yes?
Sometimes in our center, in Nasik, devotees called me on the Ishta Goshti. And on that Goshtis, I see a lot of bad... bad qualities of those devotees. So I don't like to come on this
Ishta Goshti.
Yes.
So maybe you could mention at the Ishta Goshti that maybe someone could help you understand the reason why you should come to Ishta Goshti when devotees are just fighting with one another. Actually, personally, and this is only personal, but I don't see much value in disorganized Ishta Goshtis. In other words, you just put up a notice on the bulletin board and you invite everybody to come and you have no idea what everybody's going to say, and you know, you open up the floor and everybody just has all these wild complaints, and it's complaint session. Nobody wants to sit there quietly, so they unnecessarily often think of things that they weren't really that enthusiastic about complaining about, but because it's complaint session, they, you know, expand it with their imagination. I would be more impressed to see an Ishta Goshti where the managers had done privately some survey of the devotees learned about their concerns and then asked for topics beforehand and then given some agenda and then been prepared with appropriate answers and action plans for follow-up. And also had stated in the meeting that no one will be allowed to speak unless they're very respectful and polite. That kind of an istogosti, there's value. People's time is not wasted. People go away from it with a good feeling, and they feel that they've accomplished something. They feel that their complaints have been addressed, and they feel that the management is well organized. But if you just go into a crowd and say, "Has anybody got any complaints?" and everybody starts complaining, and everybody, then you just get anarchy. And is that the frustration you're feeling?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. All of you in OSIC, disregard that, so so Dan doesn't get in trouble. Okay, we can do that during prasadam. Let's take prasadam. It's almost 10:30. What are you writing down?
Well, in this page I have some questions.
Yeah.
Okay. While I was reading, I was just putting out some questions.
What for them? What for you small?
I was writing the lecture.
What's your name?
Bostian.
Bush?
Bostian.
Bostian. So like Boston, only different?
I don't
know. Bostian. B-O-S-T-J-A-N?
Yeah.
Huh?
B-O-S-T-J-A-N.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Sebastian.
Yes,
Sebastian.
Actually Bostian is a Slovenian version of Sebastian.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Sebastian is a Croatian version of... How can Bostian be a Slovenian version of Sebastian? Or Sebastian is just an English name that has been Slovenized? So Sebastian is not a Slovenian name. Oh, okay, that's what I said. Because S-E-B-A-S-T-J-A-N. I don't think I've seen that anywhere else. Maybe. Oh, actually, maybe I should. Where does it come from? Is it from Scandinavia or something? So, Bostian. What do you do?
Well, in this building where we had feast
yesterday, yes.
I work there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're married, are you?
No.
No? What's your age?
Oh, 23.
23. And you stay with your parents?
Well, no, I'm alone. Oh. Actually, I live in my parents' flat. They're in the... They moved, actually.
Oh, okay. So they have two flats?
Yeah.
They have one flat here and one place where they're living.
Yeah. There's a house.
So they allow you to live in this one. You have brothers and sisters?
No.
Oh. So, practically, they've given you this flat.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So, you've read Prabhupada's books?
Yeah, I've read them.
Yeah? Good.
Can I ask you a question about last night? There was a friend of mine, Mataji, a girl, actually. Friend, but female.
No, it's all right to have female friends, as long as it's chaste.
When she went out, I kind of, her and her boyfriend,
yeah.
I walked there to the door.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that they actually must have had a great time, because
yeah.
I was really inspired with everything.
Yeah.
So I walked them to the door, and I was very enthusiastic. I want to invite them to some more programs,
yeah.
and want to ask how it is. And she looked very hurt,
yeah.
somehow. She said, "Well, I was."
Ishikama stopped me and said, before that I was talking to another devotee, yeah. He also know. If you said that she liked Bhajan very much, but that he felt the pain, you know, with translation, with the rest translation, and
yeah.
She thought that this strategy was feel that it was a wrong thing when you come your relation with her,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you come try to help her to the better somehow,
mm-hmm.
And that hurts her very much.
So yeah.
I try to kind of explain to her there's a difference, this is a relation with the spiritual master and the disciple, and she couldn't understand it. No, she said, no, it's impossible in front of all these people, and she also didn't like about, you know, examples with Michael Jackson, and, you know, kind of sarcastic, and she said, no, I can't accept that. And I met her about three days before. She said that he kind of noticed that she is making criticism to other people, and so she decided I don't want to do that anymore. And when he told me all that, she said that wasn't criticizing, you know, kind of I want to stay pure. I don't want to criticize. So
who said that?
Her.
She said she didn't want to criticize.
Yeah, it's. You know, everything what she said that's not a critic, this is I just felt that this is not right,
yeah.
So I wanted to explain something, but she was
sometimes, I mean, you can please some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time. You can't please all of the people all of the time. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he would often call people rascals. He used this word rascal fairly often. And a number of people objected to it. In India, the word rascal is quite a harsh word. But, you know, what could I mean, Prabhupada of course was much more expert than we are, but still at the same time he chose to use certain appropriate words, even though he knew some people would be offended by it. As far as Tanya translation, yeah, I think the problem is that when I'm speaking at a public program, or any speaker, the translator should be very experienced. And the most important thing is that the speaker should be as far as possible trying to speak on behalf of Krishna. And there's a certain mood when it's not so easy to get up on a stage and speak to a large group of people about a very sensitive subject matter, a very subtle subject like spiritual life. And if the translator is hesitant, for whatever reasons may be there, then it blocks that flow, that mood. And even I already said at the very beginning that I would rather that she sat at the back and translated for the few people that actually needed translation, because I know that I generally speak fairly slowly and clearly, and most people understand 80% of what I'm saying if they have a little grasp of English. Do you find any trouble in understanding my English? Yeah. So, you know, we went along for about 60% of the lecture, and then, you know, it was too much. And I agree, it probably was embarrassing, but then, you know, whoever organized the program shouldn't have had her do the translation if she wasn't able to do it appropriately. It was more important for me to speak to the people that needed to hear than for me to be polite with a translator and not be very inspired to speak. Now, the fact that your young lady friend took objection is, you know, perhaps she was already a little critical or afraid of ISKCON or more concerned with moods and relationships than understanding philosophy. But still, you know, we can apologize to her if she took offense. Maybe Tanya would be the best person to speak to her and tell her that she didn't take any offense. So why should she take offense? You know, Tanya doesn't take offense. If Tanya felt that my spiritual master gave me some instruction and it's for my good, then why should your friend take offense? As far as Michael Jackson goes, you know, it's a unique phenomenon that, you know, young girls at rock concerts do go completely wild, and I don't know of any other thing that's like that, that I could compare with it. Can you think of anything? Okay, I could have used Pope John Paul, you know, when he came to Denver. Of course, I don't think they went as wild as they did when, you know, Michael Jackson or any other person comes. I think she's like, you know, she's on one of these trips, you know, where, you know, you say anything about something that a woman does and or a girl. These are not women. I mean, you never see old women, older ladies doing this. It's only young teeny boppers, we call them. Teenager girls, 13, 14, 16, like that. Even 18, 19-year-olds don't do it. But just from about 12 up to maybe 17, they just scream and, you know... You ever been to a rock concert?
Yeah, once.
Yeah. Have you seen it on television?
Yes.
It's quite a thing. Or if you see the old movies of when the Beatles used to come, when the Beatles first went to New York, and, you know. So all I was trying to say was that this intense feeling is there when someone develops pure love of Krishna. What can I do? My method of, or mode of preaching, or method of preaching, is I'm a very emotional person, and I'm very, you know, enthusiastic. And when I try to express something, I try to express it. I like to communicate to people what I'm feeling in any way that I can do that. So, you know, someone else could be more sober and conservative and, you know, and that's also appealing to some people. Different styles will appeal to the key will be whether or not she's actually interested in Krishna consciousness. You know, if she you know, takes this as an excuse to avoid the association of devotees, I would suspect that it's exactly that. She just took it as an excuse. Oh, well, like I said, if Tanya will agree, she can go and say, look, I didn't take any offense. So, chill out, you know, relax. They use that expression here, chill out. Mahaprasadi Govinde. Nama Brahmani Vaishnave.
Nama Brahmani Vaishnave.
Svalpa Punya Vatam Rajan.
Svalpa Punya Vatam Rajan.
Svasa Naiva Jayate.
Svasa Naiva Jayate.
Sharira Vidya Jal.
Sharira Vidya Jal.
Yadendriya Tahikal.
Yadendriya Tahikal.
Jiva Pule Vishay Sagare.
Jiva Pule Vishay Sagare.
Taramonte Jivati.
Taramonte Jivati.
Lava Maya Sudurmati.
Lava Maya Sudurmati.
Bhagavatina Samsare, Krishna Varadaya Moy, Kuribare Divajoy, Swaprasadana Dilobai, Sena Mutapau, Radha Krishna Gunagau, Krishna Gunagau, Shishi Govardhan Ki Jai.